Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise Him. Amen. As I'm strong, thank you. I'm struggling a little bit, a little bit. I can pronounce all the words, but if I cut them off, it's not because I got a lisp. The Lord blessed me to be here this morning. And I appreciate Pastor Armstrong's invitation. My colleague, Bunny Watson Coleman, thank y'all for sending it down to the snake pit that they call Washington. And we are all glad she's there because, and I didn't know this when I first met her, but, you know, she presents this image of soft, cute little woman. But you know what we learned. She's tough. I've seen it. I just saw it last week, actually. And so it doesn't surprise me anymore. But thank you for sending her to Washington. She's a blessing. Now, I can preach for an hour and 30 minutes under normal circumstances. I'm going to cut it just for an hour and 15, trying to be respectful. I want to preach from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verse 22. First part of it. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no, most scripture would have the excuse before that, no excuse. But now they have no excuse for their sins. And now, Heavenly Father, please bless this preacher. Help him right now to hide behind the cross so that those who come this morning will see nothing but Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Amen. Please. What if I had not come? Every now and then, not every day or even every week, but every now and then, I allow my mind to float out on the wings of imagination and the pinions of faith, and I raise the question, what if I had not come? What if Emmanuel Cleaver had not come into existence? It's a tough question. What if I had not come? Obviously, my wife would never have married. If I had not come. If I had not come. Mr. J.C. Penney would never have had a bad experience. When I was 16 years old, I worked in Wichita Falls, Texas, for the Barnes Maintenance Company. Now, they cleaned up the Air Force Base, Shepherd Air Force Base, and that was my job. I cleaned the SAC dorm where the Strategic Air Command was located. And one Saturday night, as I was getting dressed to go to Billy Vasher's party, you don't know Billy, but so I put on my Bandolon shirt, my Bandolon socks to match. Oh, come on, walk with me now. Put on my stiffly starch khaki pants, some JD's behind my ear, and Christian friends, I was ready to step. Telephone rang. We lived in public housing. We were just about as poor as they come. So I heard my father talking on the phone. It was Mr. Barnes. And he said, the man who was supposed to clean up the JCPenney store didn't show up. So we need your son to come down and clean the store. So I went down. I was mad. And I'm cleaning and sweeping. And then I looked up, Pastor, and Satan was coming in the front door. And he asked me how I was doing. We exchanged pleasantries. And then he said, Cleaver, if I were you, I wouldn't take this. He said, everybody I know and everybody you know is at Billy Vasher's party, including your girlfriend, Gertha. And he said, you need to think about it. So he went on to sit down in the back, and he came back a few minutes later. He said, what you gonna do? So for the next hour, I changed the price tags on hundreds and hundreds of items. And so when the store opened on Monday, you could buy a pound of gold earrings for 49 cents. You get JCPenney washer and dryer, buy one, get one free. Women's underwear, $349 installed. So I know that Mr. JCPenney would have been happier if I had not come. My older sister would have been happier. We grew up in a household of pastors, so my older sister, when she went out on dates in a car, I had to go. I sat in the back seat. And I used to ask my sister on Friday mornings, who are we going out with? So she would have been happier if I had not come. And I raised the question, what if black people had not come to America? Every now and then, I raise the question, what if black people had not come to America? Well, it would have been true and perhaps unchallenged. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those words would perhaps never have been challenged had we not come to America. If we had not come to America, there'd be no such thing as a slam dunk. We had not come to America, little white boys in the suburbs would wear their caps with the bib in front. If we had not come. If we had not come, there would be no musical nobility, no count, no duke, no Nat King Cole, no queen, no Michael of Jackson's, no Luther of Vandross, if we had not come to America. and we had not come to America, who would have embarrassed Adolf Hitler? 1936, Hitler pronounced white supremacy or Aryan supremacy, and that they would win the Olympics in Bonn. Obviously, a little skinny black man from UCLA by way of Ohio couldn't understand German, so he didn't know he was supposed to lose. So he went on to win 3 gold medals, and Hitler walked out of the stadium. What if we had not come? Who would have led the United States in Desert Storm if we had not come? Colin Powell. If we had not come, I don't know how long it would have taken U.S. engineering to do what a little black clockmaker did. His name was Elijah McCoy. He saw what was happening. A train leaving Philadelphia, trying to make it to the West Coast, had to stop every 100 miles to go under a water tower to cool off the engine. Elijah McCoy came up with a lubricant that would allow the trains to make it all the way. And then people from Europe created a similar substance, but it wouldn't work well. And so there comes the phrase, we want the real McCoy. What if we had not come to America? Who would have forged the first Middle East peace other than Ralph Bunche? A black man. What if we had not come? Benjamin Banneker would never have laid out the architecture and the street patterns for Washington, D.C. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. What if we had not come to America? But we came. And the world knows that we are here. And I struggle with some other questions. What if Lee had won in Gettysburg? What if Hitler had not invaded Russia erroneously in the winter and thus were turned back, where they lost thousands and thousands of troops in the Russian snow? They would have gone on to China, and there would have been nothing left but the United States. I raise the question, what if we had not been able to elect a young man from Massachusetts who died prematurely but was able to have a vision of the United States going into outer space to match what the Russians had already done? John Kennedy. But what you may not know is Guy Buford, a black man, was among the first astronauts. What if we had not come? There would have been no Ali. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, if we had not come. And then I have to raise the question of the men. What if men had not come to Shiloh? Would it make a difference? Would the church be where it is? It's a tough question. But every now and then we all ought to go through a season of introspection to find out what would have happened at Shiloh what would have happened in Trenton if we had not come? Every human being that God made is an intentional creature. God doesn't accidentally make anybody. When you see somebody, God made them. You can hate them, you can love them. God made them. Now they decide how they want to handle what God made, but God made them. I have to do that prayerfully every day down where I work. The Bible says we have to pray for our leaders, and I live in the Methodist building right across the street from the Capitol, and I got to confess, Pastor Armstrong, I struggled to pray for a man who started the whole Bertha movement to discredit the first black president of the United States. I had to struggle to get to the point where I could pray for a man who bragged about assaulting women. I had to pray for a man who was supported and elected by the Christian evangelicals, who ignored every single thing they did. I mean, they said, all right, to be a good evangelical, you're only supposed to be married one time, children by one woman. He's got children by three. I'm not mad because he had children by three women. The point I'm trying to make is that this man is the most woefully unqualified person to sit in the White House in the history of this republic. Now, I don't want to make you mad. This is not your representative saying this. This is me. So you get mad at me, call me down in Washington. I'm not going to take your call, but you can call me down in Washington. Because I'm right about it. I'm right about it. And the issue always, when my little two-year-old grandson, who's 2 years old today, says to me down the road, if I'm alive, Papa, what were you doing when this man was destroying our country? We are more hateful, we are a meaner country right now. And this man is trying desperately to divide us on the basis of race and religion and everything else. I went to Kenya with President Obama last year. We were in the place where he was born, Nairobi. You gotta pay attention now. You gotta pay attention. I'm in a hotel lobby, and I'm sitting down with his sister and his aunts. All the uncles are dead, his father's brothers are gone. And they asked me, sitting down in the lobby of a hotel in downtown Nairobi, can you explain why there are people who keeps saying that Barack, they said, I don't call him Barack, they said Barack was not born here. Do they think he was born here and that his mother knew he was gonna be elected president 47 years later, so she flew to Hawaii overnight? And this is the man who sits in the Oval Office, still insulting Obama. I guess he put in some jeans, a sweatshirt, slipped out of the White House, climbed up the top of the Trump Tower, and put microphones so he could bug Trump. You know, it's got to be the truth. The president said it. What if Trump had not come? What if Trump had not come? We'd be a better nation. But the real question is, since you did come, what will you do? What will you do? Look, I don't think that this man is going to be impeached. He's already done enough to impeach himself and all of you and your grandchildren and their babysitters and their babysitters' mamas already, just from till last night. But I want to go on the record, and I want heaven to know, I want God to know, that I did not remain quiet and passive in a time like this. And just as did the prophets of old, we have to speak power to power. I mean, Pharaoh didn't like Moses coming over to the greenhouse in Egypt, telling him to let the people go. They didn't like Martin Luther King doing it in this country. What do we care about what they like? We've got to live in harmony with God's will. Which brings me to another point. I think if I had not come, you know, people would have been unhappy, but the world could have made it. I believe if the great musical geniuses of our time had not come, they would have had some nice music somewhere, but they could have made it. If the great black scientists and socio-political leaders had not come, the country probably could have made it. We wouldn't be as powerful as we are, but they could have made it. The question on this men's day is not only what if the men had not come to Shiloh, but what if Jesus had not come? Walk with me now. I need you to walk with me. If Jesus had not come, Lord, Lord, Lord. What if Jesus had not come? If Jesus had not come. Hold on just a minute. I'm trying to get ready to let you know. Just wait just a minute. What if Jesus had not come? Jesus had not come. If Jesus had not been born in Bethlehem of Judea, the wise men would never been heard of. The virgin birth would have been some kind of myth written in little books for kids if Jesus had not come. If Jesus had not come, we might not even have any hospitals. Let me tell you now. Listen to me. Whether it's in Trenton, Atlantic City, it doesn't matter. Hospitals. I can hardly wait to tell you this. Lord, let me hurry up. If Jesus had not come, hospitals might be named the Apollo, but they're called Methodist Hospital and Jewish Hospital and St. Lucas Hospital and St. this and St. that. Think about it. They got the names of the great prophets and the great leaders of the Judeo-Christian movement. That's why they named it. Why? Because Jesus was a healer. Jesus was a healer. So hospitals are named in his name. They wouldn't have chaplains in hospitals if Jesus had not come. Be no need. If Jesus had not come. If Jesus had not come, life would be a cul-de-sac. You live it and come around to the end of the cul-de-sac and it's over. If Jesus had not come. If Jesus had not come, every funeral that you have is a time to say, I'll never see you again, and it was nice knowing you. My dad is 96. He told me a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that I might need to do something for you kids, I'd just go on and be with your mama. If Jesus had not come, he just said, I'd be gone. But death has already been defeated. If Jesus had not come, death would be the strongest dude in Trenton. He's a whimper now. He's a whimper because Jesus came. When Jesus came, he took the sting out. You know, when a bumblebee stings you one time, I know it hurts. But when he stings you, if you're in the car with your kids and they sting you, tell the kids they're all right. Because he can't sting but one time. One time, he loses his stinger. Now he buzzes around and tries to scare you, but he can't sting you. When Jesus came, he took the stinger. Now death still buzzing around, and scaring folk up a little bit, but his stinger is gone. And every Sunday morning when you come to church, the whole role of the service is let you know that the stinger is gone. I think B.B. King had a song called The Stinger Is Gone. B.B. King, I'm sorry. My grandmother called him. Jesus came. Y'all better be glad I can't talk. Lord help. Because I've already talked myself into getting happy. And if Jesus had not come, you just close up the door to the church. Dismiss the choir. Lock it up. No need. Jesus established for us the way. I am the way. Are you lost? I am the way. Your children lost? I still am the way. Yeah. He is the way. Now, let me just tell you, because it's coming to our Thanksgiving, and I need you to understand this about Jesus. Two men walking down in a little country road, and they decide to get over on the other side of the fence. It's nice and warm outside. And they're walking and talking, having a good time. And they look over and they see a bull. And the bull is what's called cutting. They call this cutting. And that means I'm getting ready to do something to you. And so they started walking briskly and keeping an eye back on the bull. And by the time they looked around, the bull is no longer cutting. He's now running toward them. So they started running. So one of them said, Ted, start praying for us. You got to pray. And he said, well, I go to church and I read the Bible a little bit, but I don't know any prayers. He said, man, this bull is getting closer and closer. You got to pray, do something. He said, I don't know what to do. I can't pray. I don't know. He said, man, the bull is about 15 yards behind us. You need to pray, and you need to pray right now. He said, well, I guess I can pray the prayer I learned when I was a little boy. He said, well, I don't care. Just say it. He said, oh, Lord, for what we're about to receive, we give thee thanks. I want you to receive this morning the word that should sustain you, that there's a God somewhere. And he had a son named Jesus. And I thank the Father for the Son. And Jesus came, he killed death. If we had no Jesus, there's no salvation. You sin, you go to hell. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our joy. Jesus is our hope. Let me tell you, I hear people talking about, especially black people, we want justice. I want justice. No, you don't. You don't want no justice. Don't you get on your knees and ask the Lord for no justice anymore, because you won't get up. This church would be empty if God had used his justice on us. And because Jesus came, we also now have mercy. So when you get on your knees, that's what you pray for. Mercy. We want mercy, Lord. You gave us your son, Jesus. Give me that mercy from him. We want some mercy. See, God, before Jesus, God just did justice. And then Jesus came, he did mercy. Now he still does justice, but it's like I grew up poor. We were so poor that our dog ran away to the animal shelter. Brother Coleman, and so we would eat. Back then they didn't have smooth peanut butter. They had rocks in them, big chunks. And then the Lord somehow allowed somebody to create smooth peanut butter, because we used to call it choke sandwiches. Well, I want you to understand this, because Jesus came. The peanut butter is justice. The jelly is mercy. Because Jesus came, we got mercy. You put that together. Lord help. But you still have a role as I close. You came, and you don't be ashamed of the gospel. I'll pray anywhere. I'll pray in front of anybody, anywhere. I praise God for sending his son Jesus to me. Yeah, don't be ashamed. The gospel says, I'm not ashamed, says Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's alive and he's moving around right now. He's touching people. He's healing people right now. And people can't stand to be pushed with Jesus. Let me tell you, when you start feeling bad about what's going on in Washington and Trenton and everywhere else, I want you to think about this little boy. His mama took him to the grocery store. As soon as she got in, she said, now let me tell you right now, you're not gonna do what you usually do, start begging for stuff. She said, I'm telling you now, you beg for stuff, when you get home, I'm going to turn your daddy loose on you. And so he said, yes, ma'am. So he put her in the bag, and he was moving down. She was moving down the aisle, shopping pretty well. And then they went down the cookie aisle. And he tried his best. He just tried his best. And finally he said, Mama, I just got to have some chocolate chip cookies. And she said, I told you. Just wait till we get home. So they get to the checkout counter, Reverend, and they're about to check out, and he realizes that his time has passed, that in just a few minutes, he won't have a chance for them chocolate chip cookies. So he stands up in the basket, stretches out his hands, and he said, in the name of Jesus, somebody bring me some chocolate chip cookies. And people all over the store were bringing in cookies for the little boy. It's the name. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's joy in the name of Jesus. There's hope, there's love in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Let's keep standing. Everyone standing to their feet. Had Jesus not come. Amen. Amen. What a word. Let's give the Lord another praise offering for the Reverend Emmanuel Cleaver. We want to extend an invitation to Christian discipleship, but before we do, we want to pray. And we invite every head to be bowed and every eye to close. Father, thank you for this man of God who you literally restored his ability to speak. God, we're grateful that you did, because we got a word from you this morning. And so, Lord, you can do miracles. And I thank you for how you allowed him to be able to stand here and proclaim the good news. Father, I pray now that the word of God that goes forth, that has gone forth, would not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended, that somebody's mind might be illuminated, somebody's heart might be encouraged, and somebody's soul might be convicted today. Touch everyone, save someone, I pray. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen and amen. Deacons, deaconess, clergy, help us extend the invitation into Christian discipleship. Wherever you are, deacons, deaconess, clergy, just step into the aisles and let's stretch out and invite someone who doesn't have a church home. If you don't have a church home, we want to invite you and be a part of our congregation today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, we want to invite you to come to know him for yourself. We can't tell you what, we can't tell you when, we can't tell you how. But we can tell you that God loves you and that God wants the best for you. And so if you're here today and you've never made that decision for Christ, we want to invite you to come today. Anyone here today? If you don't have a church home, if you've never made a decision for Christ, we want to extend this invitation to you today. Just step out into the aisles. Give us your hand, but give God your heart. God loves you. God wants the best for you. Anyone here today? God bless you. You may be seated. To Christ. Amen, 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 amen. As we get ready to close this invitation, know that the invitation may close, the time may close, but the invitation is never closed. God wants the best for you. God loves you. And we want you to know that he died for you. And so if you ever want to talk to someone, pray with someone, grab one of these men and women who are standing. They're not perfect, but they're simply resources to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. And we pray God's blessings upon you. God bless you. God keep you. God keep you. In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen. Amen. Let's give God a praise offering. We invite our deacons, deaconess, clergy to take your seat. God bless you. I need to say this as we get ready to receive our welcome today from, I believe it's Deacon Grady. I need to say that